चैतन्य प्रभु हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम राम। Well, that certainly came as a surprise. I wasn't expecting that. But I have to thank all of you very much. I'll just say a few words because it's easy to speak about Lord Krishna, and it's a great pleasure to speak about one spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, but it's always very uncomfortable when one has to speak about oneself. And although this was actually tomorrow, it's my the 20th anniversary of taking sannyas at the Mayapur Festival in 1979, I don't feel very comfortable speaking about myself. And anyway, whatever little service that I've done in that regard as a sannyasi in the last 20 years, it's all the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And if we've been able to accomplish anything, it has all been by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So really, today we should be giving the credit to Srila Prabhupada. The ceremony should be honoring His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, for His ability to engage someone as fallen as myself in his service. When Prabhupada himself was glorified by us as his disciples, he would always give the credit to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in true humility, he would do that. Actually, who has done more to spread the Sankirtan movement throughout the world than Srila Prabhupada? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that the Sankirtan movement go all over the world, to every town and village of the world. He could have done it himself. He's God. He spread the Sankirtan movement all over India. It's India, but it's also a part of the material world. Conditioned souls take birth, pious souls, but nonetheless taking their birth in this world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flooded Bharatvarsha, the land of transcendental knowledge, India, with Krishna consciousness. He could have easily taken it beyond India's borders, the whole world, the whole universe. Actually, Kaviraj Goswami states that the whole world was flooded, the whole universe was flooded with love of Godhead, and everybody went back to Godhead, and the universe simply filled up again with more conditioned souls. But for all practical purposes, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached in India, and chose Srila Prabhupada to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world because someone had to do it. So he chose Srila Prabhupada 500 years later as his dearmost servant to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. One time Prabhupada was walking on the beach and devotee asked that question, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world himself? Srila Prabhupada was walking with his disciples and he stopped when that question was asked. And he had his cane, he stuck his cane in the sand and he raised his head. He said, why didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world? He said, because he wanted me to do it. So Prabhupada wasn't saying that in the mood of being proud or being honored as that particular one, but acknowledging the fact of this is the nature of love, that if you love someone very much, that person also loves you. And if you love someone, you entrust your dearest unto them. If there's some service involved, then your loved one does the most service because you have so much confidence in that person. So Srila Prabhupada spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. So whatever happens, It is all the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We get the privilege of assisting him in his endeavor to spread Sankirtan all over the world. But whatever results are there, obviously coming by his mercy. So in the last 20 years, we've had the privilege of serving Srila Prabhupada as his disciple, as a sannyasi disciple. And we've simply tried to imbibe the mood of sannyas which Srila Prabhupada himself demonstrated. A sannyasi is duty-bound to engage his body, his mind, and his words in the service of the Lord. That is why the Vaishnav sannyasis, as distinguished from the Mayavad just have their one danda, ekadanda it's called. But the Vaishnav sannyasis, they carry the danda, which consists of four poles, actually, bound together. And the one of those poles is cut at the top, and that piece is bent and attached to the top of the danda staff, so it makes it 3 points, actually. The curved portion, 1, 2, and the top of the main staff, that's 3. So those 3 points indicate that person carrying that staff, he is dedicating his body, his mind, and his words in the service of the Lord. Actually, that danda is said to be the abode of the 33 crores of demigods. The demigods are said to reside within that danda. So the sannyasi, his body is always engaged in serving. A sannyasi travels to holy places. A sannyasi travels to unholy places. He travels to holy places to become inspired in and refreshed, rejuvenated in Krishna consciousness, because he's always preaching, and preaching is not an easy task. We have to associate with the material world. We have to associate with the material energy. So a sannyasi will go to holy places, study the scriptures, chant, become rejuvenated to go and preach. The balance of his time, however, is spent in traveling to the unholy places. And in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj said that, what is the use of me going to the Himalayas for my own emancipation, my own liberation? He said, actually, I would rather stay here in the cities and preach to the fallen conditioned souls who are rotting in material existence. This is real sannyas. Mayavad sannyas means to renounce the world for one's own liberation, and therefore, so as not to get contaminated or influenced, they go to places like Rishikesh, Haridwar, which are somewhat isolated from the main parts of India, the cities, and there they meditate and get their so-called liberation, their moksha. But real liberation from material life means that one is free to preach Krishna consciousness. This is the Vaishnava understanding of sannyas. We want to become freed from the gunas. Gunas means rope. We want to become freed from the ropes of the gunas, the ropes of our own attachments, which are entangling us in this material world. For what reason? So that we can be free, we can merge into Krishna's Brahman effulgence, his energies? No, we want to become free to serve the desire of our guru and Krishna. And what is the desire of Krishna? Well, that is expressed by the very fact that Krishna comes to this material world himself. And he establishes dharma, he establishes the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is the first missionary. He's the first missionary, Krishna. We're all missionaries. Missionary means one who goes out to preach. So the original missionary is Krishna. He's the Adi missionary. There's the Adi Guru, means the original guru, the original preceptor from whom all knowledge, transcendental knowledge is coming, and whom others only repeat with realization and setting a good example. But the Adi missionary is Krishna himself, who comes to this material world to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. By preaching Bhagavad Gita, by killing the demons, by enlivening his devotees, by displaying his transcendental lila, his transcendental pastimes. So a Vaishnava is that type of transcendentalist, that unique type of transcendentalist who wants to become freed from the confines, the entanglement of material life, his own personal selfish desires, so that what? So that he can assist the Lord in his mission. So sannyas is for that purpose. Sannyas is not meant for only our own liberation or living a life of retirement. Sannyas is meant for working hard, like Mahaprabhu did, like Prabhupada did, traveling and preaching Krishna consciousness and sharing one's realizations. Even if one doesn't have so many realizations, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is perfect and complete in and of itself. One simply has to deliver that knowledge to others, and that knowledge will act. The message is perfect. Prabhupada said the spiritual master, he's like the postman. And a sannyasi is the natural spiritual master of society. He's sharing Krishna consciousness, preaching, traveling. The natural spiritual master is one who simply takes the message from the post office and delivers it to the recipient. So sannyasis are meant to travel everywhere and share Krishna consciousness with others. I'm very thankful to Srila Prabhupada that he's given me this wonderful service. It's not always easy going here, there, and everywhere. It's not easy being in heaven, it's not easy being in hell. Could probably say when you travel, then you'll see in this world both heaven and hell. And a sannyasi, by the grace of Mahaprabhu, remains equipoise, as we were saying yesterday. Sometimes we've been in places like New Caledonia, which is very heavenly. We've been in Hawaii, it's very heavenly. We've been in hellish places, like I mentioned. Yesterday we came from Sarajevo. You couldn't imagine a more hellish place than Sarajevo. Even today, 3 years after the war, it's still devastated. But a devotee of the Lord, a traveling mendicant, sannyasi, he's happy wherever he goes because he simply wants to execute the mercy of Krishna. He wants to deliver the fallen conditioned souls. So in hell, we're not discouraged because we see when people get Krishna consciousness, even in hell they become happy. In the Nisringa Purana, it's stated that the residents of hell, they once got together and they chanted the names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And it says they ascended, they went back to Vaikuntha. So a sannyasi, by delivering the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kulu Nashdeva, 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 Nashdeva. Chant Hare Krishna. His joy, even in hell, is to see the residents of Sarajevo become blissful, chanting Hare Krishna. And neither is it, when a sannyasi goes to heaven, he's not attracted, he's actually disgusted. The Bhagavatam describes, in the first parts of the Bhagavatam, first canto of Bhagavatam, describes the ugly features of the demigods. That is actually stated. The ugly features of the demigods. So it may be that some demigods are quite ugly. Kali sometimes has a very ferocious looking feature, and so she may not be considered very beautiful. But even from a devotee's position, anything in this world is unattractive. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami states that in this material world, the conception of good and bad are both bad, they're both wrong. Because everything is material. Everyone here is engaged in activities of sense gratification against the will of the Lord. So it's not actually attractive. So even a devotee goes to heaven, he's disgusted. And he's thinking, why are you using your lives in the pursuit of sense gratification? Why don't you serve the darling of Jasoda, Sri Krishna? Narottam Das Thakur has a song like that. I've wasted my humor full of life. I've drunk the poison of sense gratification. And I have not engaged in the service of the divine couple, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Woe be to me how I've wasted my life, taking the position of a conditioned soul. So when a traveling preacher sees the hellish conditions, he's enlivened because he can give people Krishna consciousness. And when he goes to the so-called Svargaloka portions of the world and he sees people enjoying, he's not attracted, he's disgusted. You're wasting your lives. The sense gratification doesn't compare at all to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, to a nice kirtan, to nice tasty prasadam. So take this prasadam. Hear this philosophy and engage in chanting with us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So I thank Srila Prabhupada for giving me this opportunity to travel and preach. To do it, we had to renounce our material family. That is a sacrifice, of course, especially for the former family members, it is a sacrifice, but sometimes it is required to make these sacrifices for the higher purpose. And it is understood that when the man takes sannyas, then his former family members, they share in his advancement in Krishna consciousness. Sacrifice is required, because actually a sannyasi is meant to see the whole world as his family. If we maintain a particular attachment to wife and to children, then it is difficult, if we give our hearts to our immediate family, it is difficult to give our hearts to humanity. So although we do need good grihastas setting a proper example in our society, and most of our members will probably be grihastas, we also need mendicants, sannyasis, who can travel and distribute Krishna consciousness far and wide. And to do that, they need that vision, that the whole world is actually Krishna's family. So in order to have that vision that everyone is a family member, and therefore I should show the same affection that I previously showed to my immediate family, to every member of Krishna's family, it's required at one point to cut that attachment to the immediate family. Therefore, in Vedic culture, sannyas was mandatory by the age of 50. The man, he had to cut the attachment and go and preach, but his wife, by his good association and training and their engagement in devotional service together, she was also an elevated soul. So it was not painful in that sense. She would go back and act as a shiksha guru for the rest of the family members. And you know, in India, the family members all usually live together, so it's quite an extended family. So she would go back and give her association to the family, the friends and neighbors. She would also act as guru like that. Lord Chaitanya said, all of you become guru and deliver those in your land. So in our own right, we're all sharing Krishna consciousness, which is guru. He gives his realization, helps others advance in Krishna consciousness. So the wife would go back, and she would also, in her own way, help others in Krishna consciousness. And the man, being freed from that family responsibilities, children were grown up, he would travel and preach. 50 years, so he had maybe what? 30, 40, maybe another 50 years of traveling and preaching. We are meant to share our realizations in Krishna consciousness. So we severed that relationship with immediate family members. Of course, we took a risk, because I took sannyas when I was 29 years of age. I was just a boy, actually. Theoretically, you're supposed to take when you're 50, when, you know, you've gone through the grihastha life and the children are grown and the association has been there and you've seen the nature of material attachments and you've realized and you can break away without any risk. And so forth. But we took a bit of a chance, actually. We took sannyas at 29, in our 20s. Sarvamoha Bhattacharya, when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unconscious in front of the Jagannath deities in the Puri temple, not understanding who was this divine transcendental personality on the ground, he thought, oh, this young man is unconscious. I do not know if it is due to some material disease or due to some spiritual realization. But then he took Mahaprabhu back to his quarters in Puri, and he questioned. He said, you know, you're a young man. He said, it is dangerous. You've taken sannyas. You're very young. He said, it's somewhat risky for a young man to take sannyas like that. He said, therefore, I will initiate you into a higher order of sannyas, because it appeared that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took a sannyas initiation in a lower order. Of course, he's the highest of the high, so what is the problem? But anyway, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I will initiate you into a higher order of sannyas to protect you, because you're such a young man, and to take sannyas at such a young age is dangerous. So, I suppose this risk was also there for those of us in those days. In the 1970s, sannyas was being awarded to young men who had shown some steadiness in preaching and a desire to take that order of sannyas. But we've seen in our movement that some of our men have not made it, so I thank Srila Prabhupada for bringing me successfully to this stage. 50 years old. I'll be 50 years old this year in May. 50 years old and 20 years as sannyasi looks a little bit of a safer position, at least. Nothing is sure till you're back home, back to Godhead. The race is over when it's over, there's a saying. So I thank Śrīla Prabhupāda for watching over and protecting me. I thank my God brothers, God sisters for also encouraging me in Krishna consciousness. I thank Krishna. I thank Lord Narasimhadev for protecting. And I ask for this full protection so that I can go on serving my spiritual master as a sannyasi until the day I die. Krishna was very kind like that. When I walked out of the sannyas ceremony in 1979 in Mayapur, I took it to Gaur Purnim Festival. When I walked out of the sannyas initiation ceremony, one devotee gave me a gift, because this is this top piece here that the sannyasis wear. This is meant for begging purposes. Sannyasis, not meant to work, but to live on the mercy of the Lord. So he does the madhukari, means he goes from house to house, and whatever rice or dal or whatever the people put in his top piece, he takes that and he cooks that as his prasadam. Meant to be renounced and detached, not luxurious life. So you can beg some rice like that. You're not eating too luxuriously or living too luxuriously. So after the sannyas ceremony, we were told to go out and beg some guru dakshin for a sannyas guru. So I was going out, and the first thing that fell into my top piece was a Narasimha Murti, a Mahabuddhi, one of my god brothers. I'll always remember, and I thank him, that I walked out and he dropped the Lakshmi Narasimha Murti into my top piece. So I took that as some special mercy. And just after that I thought, well, I'm sannyasi now and I have a little time before I go back to my preaching responsibilities in France, where I was serving at the time. I'll go to where Narasimha appeared in India, the Hobalam. And now a number of devotees have gone to Hobalam, but in those days only one devotee, Yasomati Yasodhanandana. At that time he was a Maharaj, so Yasodhanandana Maharaj had gone to South India and he'd visited the place where Narasimha appeared, Hovalam. There's 9 temples in Nrisimha in the mountains. At that time it was difficult to get there and see those temples. Things are a bit easier now. But so just after getting that Murti and beginning the worship of that Murti, I went to Hovalam, and I prayed to Lord Narasimha that I am a young sannyasi, a young man, and I am not at all realized devotee. Somehow or other, by your mercy and Śrīla Prabhupāda's mercy, I've been given this wonderful service. So you please protect me. I think it was appropriate to go there. Prabhupada said that one may not be very strong, but if we learn the process of taking shelter of the strong, we also become strong, we become protected. He gave the example when he was, well, the example is there, when Prabhupada was walking on the beach one time, there were lots of little crabs on the beach, and the devotees came close to them, and all the crabs went into the ocean. So Prabhupada said, why have the crabs gone into the ocean? And these were all his scientist devotees. And they said, well, because they felt the vibration of the sand, and it touched the certain cells within their bodies, sending a message to their brain. Prabhupada said, no, they have gone into the ocean because they know they can take shelter there. They're very small, but the ocean is very big. So in the same way, we are small and insignificant, humble servants of Śrīla Prabhupāda. We are nothing great. But like we were saying earlier, we have the great opportunity to serve a great master. So if we take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions, if we take shelter of the Vaishnavas, if we take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we'll always be protected to perform the wonderful service that Krishna has given us. We have the greatest privilege to serve a pure devotee, Śrīla Prabhupada, to serve his movement, to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So I pray that I'll have more than another 20 years. I hope I can live a long time, 100 years old, so that I can keep traveling and sharing Śrīla Prabhupāda's mercy with others. I will consider that my greatest fortune. And if Śrīla Prabhupāda so desires, I'm ready to come back. I have no hesitation in that. If Prabhupada wants that I have to come back and take birth after birth in this material world to serve the Sankirtan movement, for me that's the spiritual world. The spiritual world is wherever Śrīla Prabhupāda is. Just like Advaitacharya, he told Lord Chaitanya, he said, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. So I don't know Krishna, I don't know Vrindavan, I only know my Guru Maharaj, Śrīla Prabhupāda. One day, by his grace, I may know those things. But so therefore, I know that wherever Prabhupada is, Krishna is there. That's the spiritual world. So wherever Prabhupada is, that's where I want to be. And if it is Prabhupada's desire that I stay in the material world for many births, to keep going on traveling and preaching Krishna consciousness as a sannyasi, I'll be more than happy to do that, because I'm perfectly happy in this service. I'm very, very happy serving Śrīla Prabhupada like this. So happy that when we go to hell, when we go to Sarajevo, the austerities, the difficulties are there. They're not, hardly experience them, enjoying serving Śrīla Prabhupāda, doing kirtan with the devotees, speaking Śrīmad Bhāgavatam, any association, etc. So I pray to Prabhupāda, I'll have this opportunity to go on, as long as he desires, preaching his mission in the material world. I'd like to become even more, or I would like to become fully dedicated, my body. I'd like to actually become a real sannyasi. That's what I would like to do. We're practicing now, but I'd like to become perfect, to give pleasure to Śrīla Prabhupāda. So I ask for Lord Narasingadeva's mercy to please keep protecting me. I ask for Radha and Krishna's mercy to awaken their divine love within my heart so I can be more potent in preaching. And I ask for the mercy of all the Vaishnavas to please bless me, to give the opportunity to come to places like this, Ljubljana, Slovenia. I never imagined in 1979, when I was taking sannyas, that 20 years later I would be in Ljubljana, Slovenia. I didn't even know where Slovenia was. I didn't even know what Ljubljana was. But such is the life of a traveling preacher, that he can go far and wide to all these isolated places and preach and share Krishna consciousness. So thank you, Lord Narasingadeva, thank you, Radha Krishna, thank you, Śrīla Prabhupāda, and thank you to all the devotees of Ljubljana, Slovenia, and all the devotees for this little ceremony that we're having today. So, Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Śrī Radha Krishna ki, Śrī Lakshmi Narasingadeva ki, Golok Premdan Harinam Sankirtan Yagya ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.